Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
A blessing is promised by Jesus if we hear God's word and do it. So it is not desirable that we would leave the word of God and serve tables. If all they were doing now was taking care of the needy, then the main part of spiritual eternity and the word of God would be neglected.
Running a church is no easy feat. There's a lot to keep track of, and above all, leaders are accountable to God for how they shepherd their flock. We're in Acts chapter 6, where the early church is growing at a rapid rate, and the apostles don't have all the instruction of Scripture that we have today. Today on Practical Christian Living, the qualifications God gave through wisdom for the very first deacons of the early church and how they were to help the needy. With part two of our teaching, the gospel and taking care of the poor, out of Acts 6, 1 through 7, here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
God had established how to take care of the widows, but it was so bad in the days of Jesus that when a widow came to give her money at the temple, she only gave two widow's mites. And Jesus said she gave more than everyone else. But there shouldn't have been a widow in Jerusalem that was that poor. That's the whole thing. And so now the church is stepping up to fill that gap. And that's a good thing, even though they make mistakes. Because mistakes are to be made and mistakes can be corrected, right? You're putting in effort to make these things happen. So in verse 2 it says, then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said. Now when they summoned the multitude of the disciples, I'm assuming they're in the temple. We learned this at the end of the last chapter, that they gathered in the temple and from house to house. So they get the whole multitude together. And they said, it is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. The apostles realized, we're out here serving tables. We're trying to make sure everybody gets, you know, the right funding that they need here. But we're trying to give the word of God, and that's important. And so it's not desirable for us to do that. It wasn't that serving tables was worse than the word of God. It's that their call as apostles were to take the word of God to the people. This is very important. It's an important thing that we do. It says in Matthew 4:4, Jesus answered Satan when he was being tempted, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. It's important for us to do what we are doing right now and go over God's word. It enriches us. It is a tragedy, and I'm not saying all churches, and I don't even have any churches in mind, but it is a tragedy that churches are turning from teaching the word of God to more kind of, you know, positive messages to try to help people out. They may indeed want to help people out, but you want to help people out, get them the word of God. Why? Well, John 17:17 says, sanctify them in your word. Your word is truth. The word sanctify means to set aside, to help to walk properly. And we do that through the word of truth. If we neglect the word of truth, we're not helping to sanctify people. 1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that they may grow thereby. You're not going to have people growing into maturity, the fullness of Christ, as the Bible says, without the word of God being taught clearly. An encouragement to study it, to read it, to memorize it. We've got to receive it. We've got to get it. And here you are. This is preaching to the choir, right? Because here you guys are in a Bible teaching church on a Sunday morning learning the word of God. Luke 11:28, a woman cried out from the crowd when Jesus was teaching, blessed are the breasts that nurse you and the womb that bore you. And Jesus responds with more than that. And we all would agree Mary was blessed, right? To be able to raise Jesus, being chosen for that ministry. And I think that she wasn't just chosen like eeny, meeny, miny, mo. I think Mary had some characteristics that God was like, I want to, this is my choice to raise the Messiah. And so it says, but more than that, Jesus said, blessed are those who hear the word of God and do it. A blessing is promised by Jesus if we hear God's word and do it. So it is not desirable that we would leave the word of God and serve tables. If all they were doing now was taking care of the needy, then the main part of spiritual eternity and the word of God would be neglected. So in verse 3, it says, therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. Now, they are going to become deacons. Right now, they're in Jerusalem, and they're just trying to make things happen. And they don't have the book of Timothy or Titus to look at. That's going to be written later on. These apostles are going to write those books. Okay, it's going to be Paul, actually, that writes both of these books. But they tell us how to choose deacons, what their qualifications should be. They have three of them here. Number one, you got to have a good reputation. You certainly don't want to put a person with a bad reputation over finances, right? If they got a bad reputation, you don't put them over finances because you don't know, are they going to steal from the money? Are they going to give it to their aunt instead of somebody else? Who knows what's going to happen? They got to have a good reputation. Number three, full of the Holy Spirit. Whatever we do for God, we want to be filled with the Holy Spirit to do it. And they have to have wisdom. Why? Because sometimes the money's going to be plenty and sometimes it's not. Sometimes they have to make decisions on who they can help and who they can't help and who the most needy are. So they need to have wisdom to be able to handle these things. These are the same kind of things that deacons need today. Now, deacons in the church take care of the physical needs of the body, whereas elders take care of the spiritual needs of the body. Again, one isn't better than the other. It's just the different positions. In fact, we're going to see that these deacons, as we make our way through the book of Acts, two of them are really extraordinary men that do great things for God. It's not just kind of saying, well, I'm not going to be an elder, I'm going to be a deacon. It's like, where does God want you and where has God called you? It says in verse 4, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. So now they add in prayer, we're going to be praying for you, and it's the ministry of the word, and let's choose seven men to be able to do this. Now, whatever you do for God, you're supposed to do wholeheartedly. Colossians 3, 23 and 24 says, and whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord, not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive a reward of an inheritance, for you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of us really should be looking for ways to get involved. I had the privilege years ago, this is back in the 80s, to go hear Elizabeth Elliott speak at Casas Adobe's church while it was still on Ina Road. Elizabeth Elliott had lost her husband, who was a missionary, who had lost his life to cannibals. She actually went to the village where her husband was killed and won them to Christ. It's an amazing story. I think it's Through the Gates of Splendor is the book. It's an older book, probably still in print, but if you can find it, it's an awesome account of her husband and her and how God used her. Jim Elliott was her husband's name. And while we were there, she talked about being used by God and the importance of being used by him. And she made the analogy that you can't steer a parked car, but once the car gets moving, it's easier to steer. So she was just saying, you don't have to get to the perfect spot to start. Just get where you need to be and go from there. I remember when me and Lisa were first married. We got married very young, by the way. I didn't realize how young it was. I was 20 years old and she was 19 years old when we got married. Now, we got married on May 22nd. I turned 21 on the 30th of June. She turned 20 on the 1st of June. So it wasn't as young as you think, all right? But we were already attending a Four Square church and we had decided we wanted to be a part of it. So she worked with the five-year-olds, and I wanted to work with the junior high. And the Sunday school material that I got was just not good. It was very elementary for junior high, and I felt like, and I went to the Sunday school director, and I would have used their material if they said it, but I went and I said, can I just take them through the Book of Mark? I'd been listening to Pastor Chuck Smith going through books of the Bible, and I was like, can I just take them through the Book of Mark? And, you know, I'm not saying it was by any means great, all right? But I do know that the kids were blessed because of things that they shared, and I know that I was blessed. I also know that I had certain studies that I did with those kids that I went home and went, I don't even understand what I'm doing. Because we all have to grow into things. We all start and we're directed. And I was redirected from there. In fact, that church, which was a Four Square church, a Pentecostal church, and they were using tongues. They were really misusing tongues in the fellowship. And I believe in the gifts of the Spirit are for today, but they were misusing them. And finally, they got so tired of me talking about it, they were like, look, a Calvary Chapel just came to Albuquerque. Why don't you go there? And So they can kick me out, but it was a suggestion. We don't want to hear this anymore. Why don't you go? And so I became the first youth pastor for Calvary Chapel of Albuquerque back in like 1982. So God just directed, and that's the way God can do it with you as well. You might not know where exactly to start, but look at what's available, what opportunities you can have, and then begin to minister. Maybe minister at certain things like VBS or something where you're not doing it for a long time, but you're doing it a little bit, and you can get comfortable with it, and you can begin to be a part of what God's doing. Now in verse 5, and they, and the saying pleased the multitudes, which is shocking right there, that you got all the multitudes together and that they got all be happy. And they chose, and now we get the names of the guys who were chosen. It starts with Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit. The next chapter and a half is going to be about Stephen. They didn't choose people who were like, well, you can't be an apostle. You know, you're not as good as an apostle. They chose people who really loved the Lord and who were really ministering. They chose Philip. We're going to learn about him as well. And then we get the name of these guys. We have Procurius, Nicanor, and if you're looking for men's names for your children now, here they are. Timon, Parmenius, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch. Now, Nicholas is a common name, right? And a real common name among Catholics for whatever reason it is. When I meet a Nicholas, I'll ask him, are you a Catholic? Were you brought up Catholic? It's amazing how often it is. And there's reasons for that, which I won't go into. But this Nicholas is said to be the Nicholas that started a movement called the Nicolaitans that is brought up in the book of Revelation. What we're reading about here in Acts is happening in 35 AD-ish. Revelation is written in 95 AD-ish, 60 years later. And so to look at a name and go, well, there's a Nicholas 60 years ago, and we have the Nicolaitans here, it must be connected. I find the connection weak. And if you want to talk about, look at the Nicolaitans and who they were. God said, I hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans. If you want to look at who they are and what they were about, we have some early church writings about the group and what they were all about. You can look into that. I just think it's a really poor thing to take a common name and make a connection. It'd be like if you hear that Robert got arrested and you're like, Robert got arrested? Thinking it was me. No, there's a lot of Roberts in Tucson, all right? Wasn't me that got arrested. And I just don't think the connection is really good. Although people bring up that he's a proselyte from, which means that he came from paganism and became a Jew, all right? And so that as someone who was Greek, he would serve the pantheon of Greek gods. And so they use certain things to make their statement about it, all right? It's not just a connection of names. I still think it's pretty weak though. It goes on to say, whom they set before the apostles, whom they prayed for, and they laid hands on them. Now they're not called deacons yet. They will be later on. Again, deacons minister to the physical needs of the body, where an elder ministers to the spiritual needs of the body. If you need financial help, we have deacons at the church that you can make an appointment with, and you can come in and you can talk to them if you need financial help. Again, there needs to be some wisdom. I'm not saying we're going to be able to help you out completely, but take advantage of that. We have a fund that's for people that go to the church, and we have a fund for people who don't go to the church. And the reason we do that is because the Bible says to do good to all men, but especially to those of the household of faith. And so we want to help those who are believers who find themselves in a financial difficulty. If you ask me after the service, I'm going to send you to one of the pastors that are here, and they're going to send you to set something up with a deacon, just so you know. Because somebody came up to me, I don't know, 6 months ago and said, I need help financially. And I said, well, let me connect you with our deacons. And she said, you're rejecting me. And I was like, no, we just got ways we do things. I'm sorry. We're not rejecting you. They might. You keep that up. No, I didn't say that. I didn't say that. But just know there is a process in being able to go through that. All right. So finally, then in verse 7, then the word of God spread. So the result of them handling this problem, oh, by the way, all of these names are Greek. All of these guys are Hellenists. I love that. I almost left out the best part. They chose all Hellenists. They were like, the Hellenist women are being neglected. Let's choose all Hellenists to do it. So they put them in charge. So they take care of it all. And we never hear complaint later on that the Hebraic women aren't being taken care of. These guys did a good job. They chose men who were handling the problem. I just think that's great wisdom. Then it says in verse 7, then the word of God spread and the number of disciples multiplied. So it just continued even more greatly in Jerusalem. And a great many priests were obedient to the faith. Now we learn that even priests were coming to become Christians. John the Baptist's dad was a priest, Zechariah. John the Baptist, if he didn't go out into the wilderness to eat bugs, would have been a priest, could have been a priest. So now a good number of the priests, a great many, it says, of the priests were obedient to the faith. So here we have the church growing in Jerusalem, and now some of the priests, or many of the priests, are now becoming Christians. How very powerful. When they're just doing something very practical, like helping, making sure they're right in the way they're helping the poor widows. Now, three things in closing. Number one, part of the fruit of being a Christian is to help those who are poor and in need. Like an orange tree grows oranges, as Christians, when we see someone in need, we want to help them, and we reach out to help them. I don't need to say it again. You help them at the level you are to be able to help them. No one is asking you to help them beyond what you are able. So whatever you are able to help them, then do that. But be generous within the confines of how you can be generous. Number two, we are all part of the body of Christ. Let us find our place in it. Be a part of us. Fill out the Connect card. Connect, do 94,000 Calvary Connect. Fill it out. Find your place to be involved here. As I said, you know, your life may be crazy right now. You may not be able to be involved very often, but we can find places for you to be involved, and we'd love to have you to be a part of the work that we're doing here. And the end result of us getting involved in the church, I believe, will be more people coming to Christ. We'll see more people coming to Him as we get more involved in the church, because it's a body of Christ. He is the head. We are the body doing the work. Finally, do everything you do heartily for Christ, not only in the church, but outside of the church as well. Whatever we do heartily for Christ, that God might receive the glory and people might be drawn to Him. Stand with me, would you? And let's pray together. Father, thank you that we can take time to look at these six verses, to see the problem that arose within the church, and to see the way the apostles handled it, and to see the raising up of these six men and how you used them and how it blessed the body. Lord, we pray that you would help us, that we would be able to reach out to those who are struggling and poor, that we would have the right attitude that we are supposed to have for those who are struggling financially. We thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I'd like you to keep your heads bowed, please, and your eyes closed for just a couple of minutes. But I want to give you an opportunity if you're here today and you have never given your life to Christ. Or maybe you made a commitment a while ago, but you didn't follow through, and you know you need to make it right. And this is very biblical. The Bible says, as many as receive Him, He gives the right to become a child of God to those who are called by His name, or those who believe in His name. That is, that you invite Him in, and He adopts you into the family of God. He forgives your sins. He's got a plan. He's got a purpose for your life. But you are not called by Him so He can come into your life and make it better. That does happen. But the Bible puts more of an emphasis upon you being called by Him to do the work He's called you to do. That when you become born again, when you become a disciple, you lay down your life, you pick up your cross, and you follow Him. That you say now, I'm done living for myself, and I'm ready to live for Him. And now we become a part of what God's doing in this world. We become a part of how He is reaching out, and our hands, our feet become a part of what He's doing, and you will be blessing people as a believer, as a Christian, as a disciple of Jesus, because that's what you become. When I first learned about Christ, I invited Him in to make my life better. That's how I was presented it. I'm going to invite you. Sure, I'll invite Jesus in. He'll make my life better. Yeah, I want that. But then I learned after a while that I was to give up my life and now live for Him. And that's what we're asking you to do. To say, I'm done living for myself. I'm now going to live for Christ, whatever he wants me to do. So if you're here today, you want to give your life to Christ, I'm going to ask you to do something very bold. Just raise your hand right where you are. God bless you. Back against the wall to my left, your hand went up immediately. God bless you. Right there in the middle, your hand went up immediately as well. God bless you, sir, in the back. That's awesome. God bless you there, the little girl with your hand raised. That's awesome. God bless you, sir, there in that middle section by the aisle. That's great. God bless you, sir. Back in the third row, that's great. Anyone else? God bless you, ma'am. That's awesome. God bless you, sir. I saw your hand as well. Right back there in front of the sound booth. God bless you. That's great. Anyone else? Just raise your hand. All right. You can put your hands down. And I would like everyone, including those who raised their hand, and I saw your hand right there in the middle of that section. If I missed your hand, know that God didn't miss it. All right. So I'd like everybody, including those who raised their hands, to repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess that I've sinned. And I know my sin separates me from you. But I also understand I can be forgiven by the death of Jesus on the cross. So I invite you into my life. I turn from my sin that I can be a disciple, a follower of Jesus by the power of the resurrection in the name of Jesus. Amen. Welcome to the family of God. Amen. Now listen, I don't know what God has planned for you. I remember when I prayed that prayer at 14 years old and then again at 19 when I came back, and I had no idea really what God was going to do. I felt compelled in certain areas, like to be a pastor, I felt compelled to do that, but I had no idea what God was going to do. But God's got his plan and God's got his purpose and God will make it happen. But we have a new believers table that's out in the foyer and a new believers team. They're great. We want to get you a Bible that you can start reading the Word of God. We want to get you a new believers packet just to help you learn to come out of the starting blocks or restart if you recommitted your life to Christ today, or restart and run effectively for him. And we will be praying for you guys, all right, as you have made that commitment to him today, that Christ would establish you in him and begin to use you for his glory. All right, now I want to pray for you. And I'd like to pray for you based on what we've been covering. And since I've already prayed for you that God would bring people into your life that have needs and that you would meet those needs, I want to do it again. So the Bible says, let men everywhere lift up holy hands and pray. And I'm going to ask you men and women to lift up your hands. And I want to pray for you. Father, I want to pray that we would indeed be generous. That if we're struggling with any kind of greed or the love of money or the love of things, that you would free us from that. Help us to be men and women who will really reach out and make a difference in the lives of people. And may they be blessed. May we be blown away how blessed people are when we are at our level able to reach out and help them. And we thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson. We pray that wherever you're listening from, the study of God's Word is encouraging you and strengthening your walk with Christ. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. Producing this program would not happen without the support and generosity of listeners like you. If you would like to partner with us financially, and Practical Christian Living Radio and TV has blessed you, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. We'd love for you to join us at one of our two campuses in Tucson. Our West Campus is located at 5170 South Julian Drive, and our East Campus is located at 8711 East Speedway. East Campus service times are Saturday at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 10 a.m. Our West Campus meets Sundays at 8:45 a.m. and 11:15 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday evenings at 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. You can also listen live to our Sunday morning 9:30 service and Wednesday evening 6 p.m. service right here on Reach Radio Tucson at 106.7 FM, 690 AM, streaming at reach.radio or via our Reach Radio app on your Android or iPhone. If you have recently accepted Jesus into your life and you have questions about salvation, we'd love to help guide you in your journey. Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. Our local listeners can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KGUN 9 TV. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Tucson, where we are reaching for Jesus, connecting with people, and walking in truth.
Calvary Tucson has developed a discipleship school with you in mind. Reach College of Ministry is for adults of all ages who want a deeper relationship with Jesus, a stronger grasp of the Bible, and practical insight into fulfilling your God-given calling. Earn your certificate in theology in as little as 1 year, or enroll in individual courses for personal growth. Attend courses online or in person at Calvary Tucson's East Campus. Visit thereachcollege.org today to learn more and start this exciting journey.